It was one chilly Sunday morning amid the height of the subprime crisis in early 2009 when I found my way to a church service in the heart of the Midwest. The church, known as a megachurch and one of the largest in the region, was typical of most churches its size. There was free Starbucks coffee, a television screen in virtually every direction, and loud music pumping into the halls. As the service began, I was mesmerized by a thundering chorus of singers and an 18-piece band, which made me feel as if I were at a concert. The sights and the sounds were spellbinding, and the performance was immediately followed by the entrance of a happy young man who spoke about the importance of giving and commissioned the ushers to take up the tithe and the offering. This was then followed up by a few more songs, and then the senior pastor emerged. He opened his sermon by speaking about the church's ongoing building project, at which he expressed great excitement. From the response of the audience, I could tell that many of them were in agreement with the new building plan and were eager to hear details about its progress. Then the pastor began showing pictures of the groundbreaking party and some random video of some construction workers in action. Soon, the sermon moved from the topic of the church's building campaign to a topic that was on most people's minds during that time, namely the crumbling economy. The pastor carefully attempted to relieve his flock's concerns about the future of the economy by making a statement. He said, "We are not in a recession, and we are not going to be in a recession." He then continued, "If America does enter a recession, I will simply refuse to participate in it." Friends, since 2007, I have been traveling around the country urging people to understand the dangers that await a nation that has been built entirely upon debt. And sadly, during this time, I have witnessed several examples of such similar denial by church leaders. Because the illusion of prosperity fooled even America's best and brightest, not only are church building campaigns around the country suffering, church buildings themselves are beginning to be foreclosed upon. Just a few months ago, a review of the filings in the Thomson Reuters Westlaw legal database showed that foreclosure proceedings against U.S. churches have nearly tripled since December of 2007, when the recession officially began. This is a troubling statistic because, as history and the banking industry demonstrate, church foreclosures have virtually been non-existent in the past. Then came this week's Wall Street Journal report, which stated that since 2008, nearly 200 religious facilities have been foreclosed on by banks. Analysts and bankers are warning that hundreds of additional churches face financial struggles so severe that they could face foreclosure or even bankruptcy in the near future. The roots of this new church foreclosure phenomenon are twofold. Number one, just like Americans have become enslaved by trying to keep up with the Joneses, so too have America's pastors tried to keep up with new technologies. Their need for cash to subsidize their technological upgrades and their anticipated expansion brought them to the bankers. And second, during the days of the housing bubble, bankers were flush with cash to loan and were confident in the repayment ability and the overblown growth projections of many of America's churches. Because churches have been traditionally ultra-safe loan prospects, the banking industry did not bat an eye at loaning money to churches. Many of today's churches that have based their growth models on cheap loans and a build-it-and-they-will-come mentality are now facing gargantuan debt loads, lower investment returns, and weak donations due to the economic crisis. In fact, according to research conducted by the Barna Group, more than half of U.S. churches claim to have been financially impacted by the recession, with one church in six cutting staff. But before you believe this church foreclosure crisis is growing uncontrollably, think again. Fortunately, most of America's 335,000 churches carry little or no mortgage debt, and most meet in buildings that were paid off long ago. However, this does not mean that these mortgage-free churches did not take on heavy debt loads in order to grow their congregations. The current church growth model has left many of our nation's churches heavily indebted in their quest for megachurch status. With that being said, this current trend in foreclosures may just be the beginning of a debt tidal wave heading right towards America's churches. As we all know, our current economic crisis is far from over, and its corresponding real estate crisis is still wreaking major havoc all across the country, with many believing that 2011 will be the worst year yet. We will continue to monitor this story as it develops, as this trend could become one of the more damaging ones in recent church history.
We've got some difficult days ahead, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Bringing you the truth.
The truth.
The whole truth.
The whole truth.
And nothing but the truth.
You're listening to Follow the Money Weekly.
Weekly. Weekly.